Shabbat, Tuesday the 13th of February, Rabbi Yitzchok Lobenstein, how to connect to our challenged teenagers.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Challenged adults as well. Okay.
Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. I know they call this program Start the Day the Torah Way. In Mitzvah, we're going to try and make an investment today and encourage many other people in the schus of what we're talking today. In Mitzvah, many other people who are not starting their day or living their day the Torah Way will be able to give them the chizuk to do just that. So we're trying to discuss how to connect to the challenged teenager. So let's just call a spade. And the challenged teenager is not your typical challenged teenager. We want to discuss particularly how to deal with the kid that's often called off the derech. We don't like that terminology, that's why it's the challenged teenagers, OTD or something, is a title that's not so mechubad. We don't like that. But that's who we're talking about. Now, who's called off the derech? Well, it depends on what derech you're on and what your expectations are of the derech of the teenagers. Right? There's some people who will tell you, you know, if your couple hasn't got a rim on it, you're off the derech. I would choose to argue with that, but there are others who are off the derech when they come to shacharis without their hats and jackets. Others are only off the derech when they forget to daven shacharis altogether. Some only when they're mechallel Shabbos, they're off the derech. But whatever off the derech is, every child had a derech, every child comes from a family, a background who has a derech, and when you start slipping off the derech, that's when we have our first signs, something's not going right, and that's what we're trying to do today, to try and see understand what's going on and what we can possibly do to prevent him sliding way off track. So before we start, I would like to mention some of the things that we're not going to discuss today. And it's important that we know that, because these are important topics, they're related topics, but not our topic. So first and foremost, why are these kids going off the derech? By the way, we're talking about kids, I'll speak in Loshon Zohar with the boys, but it makes no difference if it's boys who are at risk,
or girls.
The game's the same. So why are these kids going off the derech? Good question. And it's a very important question, but it's not what we're going to discuss now. Right? They've gone off the derech. That's what's important to us. We're not discussing what we or any adults in these kids' lives could have, should have, or would have done that possibly may have avoided or stopped them going off the derech. It's very important, but it's not what we're discussing now. There's always somebody that pushed these kids off the derech. There's always somebody. Somebody that's traumatized these kids, somebody who's hurt these kids. Nobody goes off the derech. These kids are pushed off the derech. In the 400 families that we're dealing with at the moment, we haven't got a single case that we don't know what happened. Right? We'll discuss it a little bit more later. But what we're not discussing is how to deal with all those adults who unfortunately have a chelek, have a part in this child going off the derech. It doesn't matter whether it was molestation at the worst, or whether it was a teacher, a rebbe, or anything else who hurt these kids in one way or another, physically, emotionally, spiritually. There's always somebody who's responsible, and how to deal with those somebodies is a serious topic, but not the one we're discussing today. If you're the parent of a child like that, and I hope that none of you ever get tested, but if you're the parent of a child like this, or in direct contact, if you're a rebbe of a child like this, and you have to make big and difficult decisions, how to deal with a child who's slipping is something that needs serious training. It's not something we can do in half an hour. But if you're in that situation, that you're dealing with a child and you need to make those decisions, do go and speak to those professionals who can help you and give you guidance. You can't afford to make a mistake. And the last topic that we're not discussing, that's a very hot topic today, and that's where technology comes in. We're all very quick to say, you know, the common denominator between all these kids is they're walking around with iPhones and who knows what else and spending tremendous amount of time every day hooked up to their machines. If the machines were responsible for their downfall, whether it helped their downfall, whether it sped up their downfall, or it's preventing them coming back, are all good questions. We're not discussing technology and the part that technology has in the situation that these kids are in. So what are we discussing? So each and every one of us sitting here is either a friend, a neighbor, a relative, again, not discussing the job of a parent, but could be an uncle, a brother-in-law. There's nobody in this room that doesn't know of one, two, or three of kids who are off the derech or slipping. So what's our job relative to these kids? What can we do? What can we do as a kehillah? What can we do as neighbors? So the first thing we have to understand is what if you had to put these kids in a box, what box would you put them in? So the first thing that comes to mind is they're Roshoim. That's the easy bit. They're doing lots of things that we think they shouldn't be doing. So for that... Sorry?
The kids.
I'm talking only about the kids now. I'm not discussing the parents. We'll get to the parents at the end if time allows. So the first thing that comes to mind is they're Roshoim. So number one, the Talmud Devaya writes, also in Perek Aleph, also in Perek Beis, and other Gedolei Yisrael, after the Talmud Devaya followed the Talmud Devaya, even in the event that they're showing there's a chiyuv and a mitzvah deraisa to love these kids. Either it's Gemaros all over the place, it's mitzvah, you're allowed to hate the child. All these are good questions, right? This is not a lomdus shia. They're good answers, but it's mefurosh and chazal. You have a chiyuv to love these kids, even if they're Roshoim. Rabbi Neib Steinman once said, "En yeled ra, yesh yeled shera lo." I'm not sure how to translate that in English. There's no bad kid, but there are kids that bad things have happened to them. I've got a letter that Rabbi Dov Yaffa wrote, exactly, in Tovshin Ayin Hey, he wrote a letter to the Vada Chinuch in Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote there in his letter that he personally heard from the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish told him that in all the Bochrim who are off the Derech, Chas v'sholem not to think that they are Kofrim, that they are Roshoim or Poshim. He said they're probably Anusim and maybe almost Anusim. Koriv l'Anusim. But they're not Poshim, they're not Roshoim. Sorry?
Disappointed.
Who's disappointed?
The kids.
They're much more than disappointed. We'll understand in a second. By the way, any parent that ever went into Reb Chaim Kanievsky for a brocha and said, you know, my child's gone off the derech, the only thing Reb Chaim tells the parents is Refuah Shleima. Doesn't say anything else. So that's number one. So the Roshoim, you want to call them Roshoim, you have to love them anyway. But they're not Roshoim. Are they Kofrim? They sometimes sound like Kofrim, because the easiest way to justify all the things that they're not doing, or the things they are doing, is to say, if there's no Rabbeinu Shleilim, if there's no God, then that's it, I'm okay. So it's the easy way out. And if we don't challenge them, then their claim has no substance whatsoever, and they are not Kofrim. There was this kid who said, I swear to God I'm an atheist. Right? You know, these kids are not... I swear to God I'm an atheist. Right? These kids are too troubled to be atheists. They're not intelligent enough to be atheists. I haven't yet met an atheist. In the 20 years I'm with this work, I haven't yet met an atheist. I've met lots of ignoramuses, but not many atheists. Now, how about the Yetzer Hara? That's the next. You know, so we're not going to call them Roshoim, maybe not Kofrim, but they have a big fat Yetzer Hara. Right, so they have a big Yetzara. Do they have a Yetzara? Let's assume. We can comfortably assume that they have a Yetzara, no less than we do. Is the Yetzara responsible for these kids looking the way they are? No. I've yet to get a phone call from a parent or a Rebbe that says, listen, this kid, he's fully functioning, He's in school. Everything is fine. He's just smoking on Shabbos. Right? Those cases haven't existed almost since World War II. What changed then is not for now. But that's not what's happening. We see these kids, they're completely dysfunctional. They're up all night, they're sleeping during the day, they can't keep a job, they can't sit still for a second, they're stuck to their machines. That's nothing to do with the Yetzer Hara. It's nothing to do with Averus. They're messed up in the brain. And they are. It's the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is not responsible for making people dysfunctional. Now, there's another illness out there that some of you may have heard about, and for some reason, most of us think that all these kids are suffering from it, and it's time that we understood that they're not. And it's called Alzheimer's. I don't know if any of you have heard of Alzheimer's, but it's a condition where you actually forget, right? And, you know, we should never be tested, but Alzheimer's, you forget where you are, you forget what day of the week it is. You know, I've yet to meet the kid who's smoking on Shabbos, and the father tells him for the billionth time, do you not know it's Shabbos today? And he says, oh, I forgot, I'll put my cigarette off. Right? Oh, you mean it? I have to daven Shacharis? Thank you so much for reminding me, I'll go and daven Shacharis. These kids are not suffering from Alzheimer's. They've not forgotten anything. All your values and everything that we know and that we've imbued in them in the chinuch, they remember, they are keeping track of all the things they're doing wrong. And it's not making them feel good. By us reminding them about all the things they have not forgotten, it's not helping them get anywhere. It's just hurting them. Once and for all, these kids are not suffering from Alzheimer's. So what are they suffering from? If it's not the Yetzer Hara, and they're not Roshoim, and not from Kfira, and not from Alzheimer's, so what is it? The answer is pain. Pain and trauma. Right? Anyone who's ever learnt anything about post-traumatic stress disorder, anyone who knows what people in severe emotional pain look like, that's what these kids off the derech are. Nothing more, nothing less. They're in tremendous pain. But the truth is, we all have addictions, right? We might not all be addicted to our phones. Some of us might not be addicted to smoking. But there's one thing we're all addicted to. We're addicted to running away from pain, right? If you have a headache, right, you might have a meeting, you might have a shir, you might have shachris, mincha, ma'ariv, there might even be halachas and hilchos Shabbos, what medication you're allowed to take, not allowed to take. We're very quick to run to the Rav and say, I have a headache, I have a migraine, I must take a Panadol, or whatever you call it. We are all allergic to pain. And these kids are in severe pain. Why they're in pain? Somebody hurt them terribly. And like we said, we're not discussing who it is and what they did, but these kids are suffering, they're in tremendous pain. If you actually, you can look it up, I forgot to bring it, I've got a copy of it at home, where they took a kid, a traumatized kid, one of our off the derech kids, and did an fMRI, that's what it's called. It's similar to an MRI, but it's the brain function. There's scans today that can check the brain function. The function of the brains of these traumatized kids, the whole area of the brain that's responsible for responsibility, for choice, for forward thinking, is black, is out. It's completely dead. So we can tell them, why don't you think, why don't you realize, why don't you realize consequences, why don't you take responsibility for what you're doing? Discipline, why can't you get up on time? Why can't you follow the rules? The answer is they just can't. That part of their brain is not functioning. It's just not working. What the trauma's done to them, it's robbed them of some of the most basic and fundamental human needs that the Gedolim have written, Reb Volber wrote, that if you would take away from a person these basic needs in an absolute way, we will drop dead. One of them is covered. Right? We all think kinetiva covered. We think covered's a terrible thing. Well, it's not. Choyni Am Agol woke up, the Gemara at the end of Tainis, woke up 70 years after he fell asleep. And he went into the Beis HaMedrash. And the Olim in the Beis HaMedrash were not giving him due respect. They respected him. But it was the next generation already. And they couldn't respect him for the covered that was due to him. And Choni Amagel turned to Rabbeinu Shlalim and said, in that many words, you can look it up, it's printed in every Shas. He says, I can't survive, I'm not being respected in the way I need to be respected. So Hashem asked him, what would you like me to do? What are the choices? He said, there are no choices, I cannot continue like this. And Hashem took him away. Hashem took Choni Amagel away. We're talking about Tanoim here. We're talking about the greatest Tanoim. If you rob somebody of their covered, they can't function. These kids, they feel like failures, they have zero self-respect, zero significance. The Rambam writes in Ovis that somebody who feels like a zero will behave like a zero. That's why it's so important that all of us, we paint ourselves as tzaddikim. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to call yourself a Rosha. And the Rambam, Andra Ben Yonu, writes, if you call yourself a Rosha, you will be true to that and you'll do Averis. These kids feel they're worth nothing. Why? Because whoever hurt them took away every last bit of covet from them. We all need some level of love, of connection, of belonging. These kids feel zero. They have none of that. It's not for nothing that they're running after likes and followers and all the other terminology that's going on their fancy phones. Right, because that's where they're getting their love and connection. Obviously, it's a joke. It doesn't exist, right? It's in cyberspace, right? But they have no friends. They have no connection. They feel it's dangerous to connect to people. They feel people are going to hurt them. Some of you feel that they have no connection. Oy chavrusa, oy misusa. And that's how these kids are walking around. They feel they have nobody in the world that they can that loves them for who they are, the way they are now. They have no security. We don't need to go into all the little details, but they feel very insecure. There's obviously some adult somewhere along the line that's hurt them and taken away their feeling of it's safe to be around, it's safe to be. There's countless times I've had bochrim, boys, girls, whoever they are in my office, at home, and I asked them, if you had one choice, if you could choose one thing, what would it be? None of them say, I would like to have the next model of an iPhone. They say, I wish I could be normal. That's what these kids are saying. So I say to them, well, what's not normal about your life? You've got a better life than I do. Right? You can drive 7 days a week. I can only drive 6 days a week. You eat whatever you want. You do anything you want. What's not normal about this? You know, I have to keep my Shulchan Aruch because, you know, I'm not off the derech. But you've chosen a different derech, like, what's your problem? And the answer is they haven't chosen another derech. They're living in trauma, and they just want to be normal. And they just can't be normal at this point. They don't have those faculties with them at the moment. But fortunate, Baruch Hashem, it's not lost for good. It's not lost for good. They can actually be healed. And it's profoundly simple how to do it. Profoundly simple. All these kids need is a nice word. A nice word. I had kids in my office who tell me everybody hates me. So I asked them, do you have any references? It might be in their head. They think everyone hates them. I asked them, do you have any references? They'll tell you exactly all the people that know them in shul, their neighbors, their uncles, exactly who avoided them, who crossed the road when they were just, you know, in sight and didn't want to face them for whatever reason, either because, you know, he's off the derech, he's like, you know, he's excommunicated, or I'm scared if I go anywhere near somebody who's off the derech, maybe I'll go off the derech, and all sorts of other narusha cheshbonos. These kids are keeping cheshbon. They know, you know, they're in pain, right? It was one of us that hurt them. Let's get honest. It was somebody who's representing normal life who actually invaded their lives and hurt them. To the extent that they can't even wake up in the morning. And then we're the ones who are avoiding them. And we're not even saying hello to them. If they are in your contact list, on your phone or on your computer, there's a good chance that you're in theirs. And they know that you haven't called in 6 months. Well, it's your nephew. It's your neighbor. Why can't you call up and say hi? You don't need to say it's great that you're being Chal Shabbos. If you're a parent, you have to deal with that. But we're not talking to parents of these kids. We're talking about neighbors, to friends, to the community. Why are we not keeping contact with these kids? Just because they're drunk all day? They don't deserve a phone call. They don't deserve a good word. A lot of them don't even have homes, don't have roofs over their heads, because their parents have either gone for guidance or not gone for guidance, right guidance, wrong guidance. We're not going to go into that now. But a lot of these kids don't even have a roof over their heads. Last week's parasha we learnt, Yosim v'almono loise anun. Right? The Rambam says there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to take care of all the needs of a Yosim. Who's a Yosim? So there's a Sefer, Shailas Tshuva, Sifsei Kohen, and there in that Sefer is written, he says it also by Almona and also by Yosim. It doesn't only mean somebody who loses their parents. It says somebody who's been distanced from their parents, somebody who's been thrown out of the house. He's also a Yosim. So you've got some father, some place, who feels rightly or wrongly that he has to throw his kid out of the house. It's not the mahalach that we have from our Gedolim. I've personally been into Reb Gershon Edelstein on a number of occasions. For those who haven't seen the video, it's going round. It's worth seeing it. He gave us extremely clear instructions that there's no such thing to throw a kid out. But this parent feels he can't deal with it. I don't know. We're not judging the parents now. But the kid's on the street. Does that mean that we have to keep him, homeless? My kids built in my garden a little shed. You know, the kids do. They build a little, what they call it, machane. I don't know what they call it here. They built a little contraption just at 3 o'clock in the morning. I come out and, you know, just finished a phone call. I go into the garden. And I see there's a yeshiva bocher sitting there. I ask him, you're sleeping there. I ask him, what's going on? So he says to me, well, my father said to me, if I come home after 11 o'clock, he's locking me out. So I said, how long have you been sleeping for? He says, 2 months. And it's my sister b'chol yom. So I told him I don't let him sleep there anymore. I gave him a room, I gave him a bed, and show him, whatever. But there's a story, the story which probably didn't happen, but a very important one. That there was this Rav who was called in to the hospital. There was a choshe member of the kehillah that was really not doing well, and they called the Rav. You know, it's one of the last calls that people make is to the Rav, to the rabbi. Okay, so the rabbi comes there, speaks to him, gives him chizuk, and then this person can't speak anymore, he's really not doing well, and he asks the rabbi for a piece of paper. So, you know, a dying person is asking for a piece of paper, so the rabbi took out a paper and a pen and gave it to him. This is a choshev, a person who was lying there. He wrote something on a piece of paper, so the rabbi didn't feel it was appropriate to read it now. He put it in his pocket, and 15 minutes later, the rabbi wished him his final farewell. Two or three hours later, it's a big levaya, and the Rav is giving a hesped. At the end of his hesped, the Rav says, I remember he gave me a piece of paper. There might be, you know, some tremendous chizuk, maybe some message, a final message he gave over to the community. So the Rav pulls out the letter and reads it to the Olam. Dear Rabbi, you're standing on my oxygen tube. Now, I don't know if this story actually happened or not, but it's happening all the time. And we're so busy, some of us are so busy doing the right thing, and you don't realize that we might be robbing these kids of their oxygen. You don't need to be a rabbi to deal with these kids. You don't need to be a professional. You just need to be human. Give them a call. Invite them in. You've all heard of Gesher here in town. No? Good for those who have, good for those who haven't. But what Gesher are doing is... Sorry?
It's called Gesher Yukeos. There's another Moshe called Gesher on Gates.
Okay, right. So we're talking about the Gesher.
Gesher 2017.
Right. What is Gesher? Gesher is a body, is an organization that is actually being run by some off-the-derech kids who were not given the kirov that they deserved. And they opened a whole community where they're helping people go off the derech. All they have is money. We have it now, it's Israel, it's called Hillel. They have an America called Footsteps. And if you ask them for their statistics, they will tell you, and I have these statistics at home, they will tell you that 80% of the intake, upon intake, they admit having been traumatized. And how are they buying these kids? With money, with a roof over their heads. The parents have thrown them out. And here you've got an organization that's giving them a roof over their heads. Well, we're going to be responsible for that. If it can't be at home, it's up to the community to take care of it. If they need some money, how much money do these kids already need? But why should they have to go even further off the derech and become comfortably off the derech just because there's nobody taking care of their most basic needs? The Zohar says in Parshas Truma that if we knew what it means to have an neshamas, if we knew what it means to bring back an neshama that's getting lost, we would run after these kids like we run after life. Like we run after, we'll chase these kids to buy them back like we're running after life. We all know that when you say Lashon Hara and you talk not nicely, there's something called tzoras. Tzoras. Mitzvah is Nechshav Kameis. Mitzvah writes in Parshas Tazria, Parshas Mitzvah. The Zohar Kodesh writes, you think that you only get tzaras for saying Lashon Hara? Exactly the same way as you get tzaras for saying Lashon Hara, you'll get tzaras for not saying a good word when you're supposed to. If you're supposed to say a nice word to somebody and you don't, you're exactly in the same bracket as Lashon Hara. So Hasema says that's why Mitzvah brings two birds. One of them gets shechted as a korban, and the other one gets let free. So the Sfasema says, why do I need to catch a bird, bring it to the Beis HaMikdash just to set it free? So the Sfasema says, that's the message. There might be things that you shouldn't have said. So that's the korban that gets slaughtered, that gets shechted. But there's things you should have said and didn't say. So we take this bird, it doesn't stop talking, and we set it free and say, learn your lesson. We only have a few short minutes left, and I want to mention one more point, which is equally important, and unfortunately has not been given enough focus. Behind every single off the derech kid is a set of parents in tremendous pain. It's easy to point fingers and say they should have done this, and they shouldn't have done this, and that behind every single kid like this, there are parents in the community, davening in the same shuls as you, joining you in the same simchas, who have to deal with the kids, who's either at home or not at home. Don't think for a second that the parents who have thrown their kids out, they sleep well at night. They don't. They have sleepless nights if the kids are home. They have sleepless nights if the kids are not home. The homes are often falling to pieces. And the parents that come for training, Baruch Hashem, the homes get stable very quickly. We're not going into that now. But you have to realize behind every kid, there's a set of parents in pain. We know that, but the Pasuk says, Avraham Avinu, right, who was the Maisa of the Simon Nebonim, everything we are is in the Schus of Avraham Avinu. And by Avraham Avinu, it says he was Bor by Yomim, right? Every single day was counted for, right? We can only imagine what every single day of Avraham Avinu is doing for us till today. Avraham Avinu was Nifter, he died 1,825 days before he was supposed to. You know what that means? 1,825 days of Avraham Avinu? So Chazal say, why did he lose those close to 2,000 days of his life? So Hashem says, I promised Avraham Avinu seva toiva. He was going to have a good life. And his grandchild Esav was going off the derech. He says, I'm going to take away almost 2,000 days from Avraham Avinu, just that he shouldn't have to see his grandchild going off the derech. You can take it for granted, whether you understand it or not, you can take it for granted, these parents are doing their best. They're getting the guidance they feel they should be getting. If they're getting the wrong guidance, it's not their fault. Right? They are going to get help, they're putting in tremendous amount of resources, emotional, financial, and every other way to try and help these kids. You know, it's like walking down in Manchester or in any other from Kehillah, walking down the street with the kid, who might have tattoos, he might have earrings, might be walking around with his dog, might even be in the middle of Shabbos afternoon. Do you know what gvura it takes for a parent to remain that good parent to support these kids in that situation? Have you ever gone over to a parent and say, you know, kol hakavod, it must be so difficult for you, and your mom, you're making a kiddush Hashem, you're not disowning the child, even though it's so difficult. What do we often do? We go to the parents, I think you should do this, I think you should do that. Just imagine you saw a parent coming home, no one should be tested, with a 6-year-old child and almost all his hair has fallen out. Right? So everyone with a bit of brains understands this child is unfortunately going through chemotherapy. So just imagine some clever guy comes along and says, you know, Tesco have a new model of Head and Shoulders. Maybe you want to invest in some shampoo that will help the hair. Right? How do you think the parent feels when you do that? Right? So obviously, no normal person would do that. But when we go over to these parents and, like, you know, we don't want to say, we feel bad and we feel uncomfortable saying good Shabbos to these parents because, you know, there's a child at home off the derech. Is that what the parents deserve? Are they not suffering enough? Simchas. And if you see a child like that walking into shul, into a simcha, with a tiny couple like this, or who knows what, do you know what gvura it takes for a father to stay to be in that matzav? Go over to the father and say, you know what Kiddush Hashem is? Baruch Hashem, your kid is close enough to you and close enough to home. He's happy to come to shul. He's happy to be around you. He's happy to be around us. Don't avoid the parents. I'll finish with Avtocha from Yirmiyahu Novi. Yirmiyahu writes, Im toitzi yokor mizaylol, if you invest time and energy in trying to make a dover yokor, something valuable, from something that's going off, from something less valuable, yokor mizaylol, yoshuvu heima yelecho, it's muvtach, it's a guarantee. These kids will come back to you. You won't be influenced by them. We're all scared. You know, if I'm going to say hello to this person, maybe I'll get a tattoo tomorrow. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says nothing will happen to you. So you have to use your brains, right? I'm not telling you that you should take these kids and bring them all into your homes. It depends on the dynamics of the home. Ask your shailas. But each and every one of us can go one step towards these kids, one step towards the families of these kids to support them, to give them the much needed significance, love and respect that they deserve in order to give them the keichas, and these kids will come back and none of us will be affected by it. Yeah.